Now, I'm going to put a photograph up on the screen. And I want you to promise me one thing, that you will not laugh. You're already laughing. You've already lost. Okay, promise me, kids, that you will not laugh. Now, can you see this very clearly? This is my eldest brother. His name's Embert. He's 12 years older than me. And this is me. I think I was about 5 years old at that time, 5 or 6. And believe it or not, as you know, that there are 6 kids between these two gentlemen. This year, Embert celebrated his 60th birthday. And I had to send a video message, being the only sibling that wasn't at his 60th birthday party. And I told a story, which I'm going to tell you now. When I was that age, I was fascinated with aeroplanes. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to be a pilot. And secret, I still do. But God has other plans, and that's okay. The year, I think, was 1985. I was around 10 years old. And the supersonic Concorde was visiting St. Lucia. Now, the international airport is down in the southern tip of our island, and we lived near the capital in the north. So that meant we had to take a bus and travel down to the south to the airport. And I was so excited. You know, I was so happy. I was so grateful to my eldest brother for giving me this wonderful present, and it wasn't even my birthday or anything. So we traveled down to the south, and there were lots of people gathered at the airport. They broke over the fence, and they got onto the tarmac, and people were surrounding the airplane. That's not an actual photo of that event, but similar. And I was there with my brother. The crowds were there. And I remember when it was time for the Concorde to leave, and the engines were started. Flames came out from the back of the engines, and people started running. They were scattering. And when the airplane took off, people were running, almost like they were running to try and outrun the airplane as it was traveling fast. The thing about the Concorde that I love, supersonic means that it travels faster than sound itself. Twice the speed of sound. That's faster than a speeding bullet. That's a really fast airplane. And as the crowds were running, I just took off and I started running with everyone, with all the excitement, cheering this plane along. And when the airplane departed in the distance and the crowd settled and everyone was going, finding their way to the exit, I looked around for my oldest brother and he was nowhere to be found. And I looked in the crowds, I looked everyone. Everyone was just going along their way, and Embert, my oldest brother, was nowhere to be found. And I was lost. And you know the thought that came to my mind at that time? How irresponsible was my oldest brother for just leaving me alone? How could he do that? Not realizing that I was the one, in my exuberance, took off like a jet plane, running I have no idea where. Until I looked around and there wasn't a familiar face in sight. Thank God that day my dad had given me some pocket change. And I seem to have always had a level head on my shoulders. As a matter of fact, when I was going away to college, these were the exact words that Embert said to me. He knows that I have a good head on my shoulders. I had the presence of mind I know where the exit is. Everyone was walking out, so it's not hard to find. I'm walking out. I have enough money in my pocket to catch the bus. And I'm walking out. Just as we were exiting, there was a bus that I saw with someone who was a pastor's son, and he was also in my primary school. So I knew this bus was heading where I was going. So I jumped on that bus, and I got home. And I was not lost anymore. There was someone else in the Bible that was lost. And that person was Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? How could Jesus be lost? Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus can never be lost. Yes, Jesus was lost. Lost, in quotes. His parents had lost him. Now, by the way, kids and grown-ups, there are a few stories in the Bible when I heard for the first time as a kid, I didn't really understand them. This is one of them. When I heard this story, just like how I thought my oldest brother was irresponsible for losing me, when I heard this story for the first time, I thought, how reckless of Mary and Joseph to lose their son. Like, who does that? What kind of parent loses their child? They lost him. They were on their way to the Passover in Jerusalem. They lived in Nazareth, and as every good Jewish family, they made the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus was about 12 years old. Now, when all the festivities were over, they were making their way back, but something was wrong. Jesus was not with them. They thought that he was with the rest of the crowds, maybe with another family, maybe playing with his friends as the caravan went along. But when they looked for Jesus, he was nowhere to be found. And they looked frantically for Jesus. I don't know if there are any parents here who have ever lost a child in a shopping center or something like that. I've heard lots of stories like that where parents have lost their children. And boys and girls, if you get lost, trust me, it is worse for your parents. If you think you're scared because you're lost, it is worse for your parents when they lose you. So we're going to promise that as best as we can, we will try very hard not to get lost for the sake of our parents, because we don't want to give them a heart attack. Mary and Joseph searched frantically for Jesus in the crowds, but they couldn't find him. Now, Mary and Joseph were good parents. Don't think that because they lost Jesus, it meant they were not good parents. They were very good parents. They taught Jesus everything that he knew. Now, can you imagine what it would have been like for Mary teaching Jesus how to pray? Like, how can you teach God how to pray? He's God. But she understood that it was her responsibility as a parent to teach Jesus the scriptures, to teach Jesus how to pray and how to talk to his Father, the very thing that he would have to rely on for the success of his mission on earth. Mary had to give him these tools at a very early age. Can you imagine, mothers and fathers, the pressure that they might have felt? But they did their job diligently and faithfully and trusting the Father to do the rest. And parents, you have an awesome responsibility to teach your children. Give them the tools for success for this life, but more importantly, for the life to come. Joseph would have taught Jesus not only how to read the scriptures, but what they meant. And can you imagine the precious time when they would come to the part of the scriptures in the Old Testament that prophesied of the Messiah to tell Jesus that this is you. This is your mission. This is what you were born for. Joseph would also have taught Jesus how to work in his carpenter shop. Joseph was a carpenter. And Jesus would have learned the skills of how to be a good carpenter. He would have not only shown Joseph the techniques of how to cut and to shape wood and to join them together. And Jesus would have had to exercise these muscles, because this was not a time when there were power tools. But Joseph would have also taught Jesus how to handle people. Because you have to remember, he wasn't doing this for free. This was a business. Some people may have ordered furniture on credit. Some people couldn't pay. Some people paid late, and Joseph would have had to model how to handle people carefully. All of these things Jesus learned from his parents. I want to share with you the very first Bible verse I can remember being taught to recite from memory by my mother. I think I was about 4 years old. And I remember distinctly on a Sabbath afternoon, my mom teaching me to repeat this Bible verse from Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And it says, "And the child," referring to Jesus, "grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." We've often forget, and we sometimes don't pay too much attention to Jesus' childhood years. But he was a child just like you, adventurers. He was a child just like you, pathfinders. And he grew strong in the spirit, the Bible tells us. He grew with wisdom. He increased in wisdom. And God's grace or God's favor was upon him. And there's another verse in that same chapter that I remember learning as well. It says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And I can recall being as small as you adventurers and reading this verse and learning this verse. And that word stature, I didn't understand what it meant. It sounded like the word starch to me. And it's like, what does Jesus' growth have to do with starch? Did he eat a lot of starch and he grew strong? I don't know. But it means that Jesus grew in his mind. He grew by reading and learning things. He grew in physical strength. He grew strong. He made sure that he took care of his body. And he grew in favor with God. His relationship with his father was important to him. And he did not say, "All I need to do is to please God and I don't care about anybody else." He also grew in favor with man, his friends, and adults in his community. Jesus grew physically, spiritually, and socially. And in the Pathfinder and Adventurer Club, these are the very same things that we aim to teach children. Yes, they go hiking and they go canyoning and they learn knot tying. But we also give them an opportunity to learn about Jesus, to get to know Jesus. And we give them an opportunity to choose Jesus. And many pathfinders choose to be baptized at a pathfinder age, when they are young. Many pathfinders around the world choose to be baptized in their pathfinder uniform. Very special moment when they are saying that they are committing their entire lives for the rest of their lives, not only to Jesus, but to serving their fellow men. So it's not just all about fun and camping and having fun. That's an important part of it, the social aspect of it. But the physical and spiritual part of pathfinding and adventuring is also very important. Going back to the story of Jesus, they couldn't find him. But guess where he was? The Bible tells us, in Luke chapter 2. Now it was that after 3 days they found him. After how many? 3 days. Jesus was lost. His parents did not know where he was. Can you imagine the anxiety they would be facing, the panic, the stress? They couldn't sleep because their boy, their precious boy, sent from heaven into their care and responsibility, and they lost him. For 3 whole long days and 3 nights. They found him where? Can you read what it says? Talking to the priest. Very good. That's what the Bible says. They found him in the temple, I say hallelujah. I say praise God. Did I hear an amen? That when your child is lost, when you cannot find him or her, they're in the church busy working for their master. He was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Some versions use the word doctors, and I want to recognize Dr. Tasker, Dr. David Tasker. Welcome to Dora Creek. Dr. Tasker, I'm not sure if you remember, but you were at my ordination interview, and you asked me the very first question. Some of you may remember I talk about a question that was asked to me at my ordination interview. That was Dr. Tasker who asked that question. You don't know what you're talking about. You probably don't even remember the question. But welcome. I think this is your wife. Dr. Tasker is I think you are retired now, but still forever a teacher, a professor at Avondale University. And can you imagine what it is like? You're a doctor of the law, teacher, PhD in systematic theology, and Jesus is sitting there questioning you and asking you hard questions that you are finding it difficult to answer. But look at it. He was not only asking them questions, but it also says that he was listening to them. So Jesus didn't think at that age, I am the Messiah, I am God, I created the whole heavens and the earth, there's nothing that you can teach me. No. Before you can become a teacher, you must be teachable. Before you can teach, you must be willing to learn. And that was Jesus. And it says, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers, including the teachers of the law. Boys and girls, do not ever believe that you are too small or that you are too young. Now, it seems that I always make this point whenever we're having Pathfinder dedication or investiture services. It can never be overstated. Do not believe that because you are a child that you cannot speak to grown-ups. You cannot ask them questions. Don't believe that you cannot even give answers to some of the questions that they cannot even answer themselves. Here was Jesus in the temple teaching the teachers. And verse 48, this is the reaction of his parents. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, now look at this here, Mary's response. Mothers who are here, I'm sure you can identify with this. Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. They are telling, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I didn't grow up in Australia. You know, and every West Indian child can tell you this. That your parents would warn you, do not run and jump outside or inside. And when you don't listen and you keep doing it, we had a saying in our house, after joy comes sorrow. You're disobedient, you don't listen, and then you crash and you fall and you bruise your knee and you bawl out in pain, and after your parents make sure that you're okay, and you have not broken your leg, what do they do? You get a hiding for not listening. Here it was, Mary is rebuking Jesus for putting them throughout all this stress. And, you know, she didn't even say that, you know, I'm so glad that you're okay. You know, here it was, offloading her emotions, telling Jesus how he made them feel. What I love is Jesus' answer. And this is the crux of the message. He said to them, 12-year-old boy, the age where a Jewish boy has this transformation where he is now at the age of responsibility and accountability. He said to them, "Why did you seek me?" You know, I can just imagine Jesus, 12-year-old boy, saying to his mom, "Mom, relax. Relax. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" I say hallelujah. Amen. That a child at that age could be faithful to God, faithful to serving God, so that when his parents misses him or her and are anxious about what they are doing in their rooms all by themselves and crack open the door, would see that they are on their knees praying, would see that they have their Bibles open, reading their Bibles and studying the Word of God. Children must be given an opportunity to serve God in His church. You didn't hear me because I didn't hear anyone say amen. It's too late to say it now. Children must be given an opportunity to serve God in His church. And I am so grateful that Doral Creek is a church that gives children the opportunity. Did you miss it? Our deacons. And this is not only because it's Pathfinders. We have elected junior deacons in our church. And they serve alongside the deacons. Many Sabbaths we have children playing music and providing music for the worship of God. I remember when I was growing up in church, Sunday afternoons, Pathfinder meetings, and later on, Master Guides. And when I was older in Master Guides, there's church on Sunday night. So you kind of have to stay on for church. Monday night was youth choir practice. Tuesday night, the senior choir. Wednesday night, prayer meeting. Thursday night, youth choir again. Friday night, senior choir. Sabbath morning, Sabbath school and church. Sabbath afternoon, AY. Saturday night, social. Every night of the week, I'm in church. Now you might say, that's too much. Well, maybe for you it might be. It wasn't for me. And this is the reason why I am here today. Because the church gave me an opportunity to serve God from a very early age. I was always in church, and I remember in year 12, my HSC is coming. We don't call it HSC then and there. It's called A-level. Some of you are familiar with it. And the senior choir leader, I'm telling her that, you know, I have exams this month. You know, so don't be surprised if you don't see me. And I thought she would be all understanding, but she said, "No, we really need you to play the piano and teach the parts." And I'm like, "Lady, don't you understand? This is final exams." And she said, "We really need you." And I gave in, and I attended grudgingly, I must admit. But let me tell you, when it came to the results, yes, I did not pass with flying colors. The colors could have been a little better, but I passed all of my exams. When there were kids in my year who I believe was a lot more intelligent than me, and they failed and couldn't graduate, and I did. When you are faithful to God in service, boys and girls, He blesses you and you do not miss anything. Did I hear an amen? Amen. The best place, parents, that you can lose your child to is to God's church. When you lose them to the church, you lose them to the world. You lose them to the club. You lose them to alcohol. You lose them to wanting to have tattoos and piercings. You lose them to going to the cinemas and watching all sorts of movies that influence them negatively. When you lose your child to the church, you lose them to Jesus. And so I say, let the children loose in the church. And church, we need these children. We need our children. Without children, the church is dead. I remember pastoring a church where there were no kids. Most of the members there, except one couple that was still in their 20s, they were all in their 70s and 80s. And I remember asking them a question. What will this church look like in 10 years? And they gave me a very frank answer. They said to me, we'll all be dead. Thank God, some of them are still there. We need children in the church. I want to introduce you quickly as I bring this message to an end. And that actually should say the adventurer law. Adventurers, I'm very sorry. I did put the adventurer law first, but forgot to change. Anyway, long story. Just imagine that this says here, adventurer law. One of the adventurer laws says, Jesus can help me. Some adventurers, you know about this. Jesus can help me to be reverent. And what does it mean, adventurers, to be reverent? It means that you will listen carefully to God, His word, and His messages. You will take good care of your Bible and the church property. And you will never make fun of holy things like worship and Bible study. This is the church where I grew up in. The Castries Seventh-day Adventist Church on the island of St. Lucia in the Caribbean. On the left, sadly, and I wish they would be listening, this is the old edifice. They have changed it all around, and you know, some people don't like change, like me. There were problems, and it was leaking, and infrastructure problems, so it needed to be done. Okay. And on your right is what it looks like on the inside. Now, let me tell you something about myself and this church. I was dedicated at 4 months old, right on that platform. At 12 years old, I was baptized in the font right behind that red curtain. And the first 2 years of my formal education was in that very same building, because that year, the year I was supposed to start school, there was a hurricane that blew the school's roof down. And so for 2 years while they were fixing, it took 2 years to put a new roof on the building. We had to have school in the church. And there was one very important rule. There was to be no running inside the church. You can run on the outside, in the front, around the back, upstairs where the classrooms were, and there was another set of classrooms on the side where we had Sabbath school rooms. But once you're in the church, no running. Now, when we were playing, the Americans call it tag. We called it catchers. I'm not sure what it's called here. Tips, very good. When we were playing tips, you could run, but as long as you set foot inside the church, you could not run. So we had this rule, once you stepped inside the church, you were safe. You couldn't be caught. Couldn't be caught. And so the person who is chasing would have to go look for someone else who is outside of the church. You know where I'm, you see where I'm going with this. When the devil is trying to catch you, when he's chasing you and he's trying to catch you, the safe place to be is inside the church. Once you step outside, you become his prey. And then you are really lost. So stay in the church, boys and girls. And church, let the church be a true sanctuary, a safe place for children to grow up, to feel that they belong, to have opportunities to serve. My first sermon, thank God, at 15 years old, was at that church, that very same pulpit. Thank God for the church. Pathfinder Law. By the grace of God, I will be involved in my church. Pathfinders, sounds familiar? What does that mean? When I'm asked to participate in programs at my church, I will willingly do so. I will attend as regularly as I can. And as I look at these pathfinders, I see every one of them living to that law. Every single one of them. And that's what we want to encourage and dedicate you to. It's time for your charge. I invite the adventurers and pathfinders and their leaders to stand while the charge is something that I'm going to read. And what it is, you're not under arrest. But it is a challenge that I want to give to you. And if you want to say yes at the end of the charge, I invite you to just raise your right hand as an indication that you are accepting the challenge. Are you ready to listen, adventurers and pathfinders? We want to welcome you to adventurers. Not quite yet. When I'm done, you'll put your hands up. Welcome to adventurers and pathfinders for 2024. The whole church has gathered today to ask God to bless you this year. Jesus loves children. Jesus loves children, and I cannot say it enough. Jesus loves children. Jesus said to the grown-ups, adventurers and pathfinders, that unless they can become as little children, they cannot enter into his kingdom. So do you know what that means, adventurers and pathfinders? Grown-ups are supposed to be looking at you so they can know how to get into God's kingdom. Let no one put you down because you are young. I charge you to be an example to all in your word, in your conduct, in being kind, and exercising faith in Jesus. Be willing and ready to participate in church services and programs when you are asked. And even though you are not asked, volunteer when there is a need. Remember to show respect to holy things like your Bible, worship, and prayer time, and also God's house, this place which we have dedicated to come together to worship him. As you begin your Pathfinder and Adventurer year, I charge you to grow physically, learn new skills, make new friends, strengthen the bonds of friendships that you already have. That includes with your siblings, your brothers and sisters. But most importantly, I charge you to get close to Jesus and let yourself be lost to the world because you are busy serving him in his church. We dedicate these two clubs to the honor and service of God for the year 2024. And church, if you would like to join in the dedication, yourself being willing to help these clubs, to pray for them, to support them financially, to volunteer when there are things happening and they need help. If this is your wish, I invite you to stand in your place where you are because I want you to be included in this prayer as well. Thank you. Pathfinders and adventurers, if you are willing to accept this charge, I ask you to raise your right hand. Amen. You can put them down. We will pray and ask God to bless us this year. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father in heaven, thank you that this year we could have adventurers and pathfinders at Dora Creek Church. Thank you for the children that you have blessed us with. The pathfinder boys and girls and the adventurers, Lord. Thank you for the leaders, Sandra and Toya, who are willing to serve in another year. Father, I pray that you may give them strength and wisdom and grace as they lead these two clubs. We pray, Lord, that you may bless them and that you will send your holy angels to be around them, Father, and strengthen them and encourage them when they may be growing weary. Bless the other staff members, the assistant leaders, and the counselors. Bless the parents, Father, who would be helping as well. We dedicate these two clubs. We ask, Lord, that you may protect them at camps. Bless them when they are traveling to campery and to expedition, Father. May angels accompany them. May your Holy Spirit be their guide and teacher. Help them to learn to listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit and to be obedient. And Father, we pray for our wider church that we will always make church a safe place for children, that we will protect them and we may encourage them, that we may chide and discipline with love and tenderness, and we may show them the right way to go. We pray that as a church, we may give every opportunity for pathfinders and adventurers, not only to learn about Jesus, but to serve him in his church. And may this year, 2024, be a year that we can thank you and praise you at the end of the year for what you will do. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen.